This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. If you would like to join us in the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me in the studio tonight.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
We were talking in the previous segment, well, about all sorts of things, really, but the non-aggression principle keeps coming up.
And, thank you, Scooter.
Yeah, thank you, Scooter. And so during the break, we were discussing pollution, and then I was like, okay, well, if pollution could be a violation of the NAP, depending on the circumstance and whether or not you can identify where it's coming from, and
that's part of the problem.
Who it's violating. Does that mean that if I fart, I violated the non-aggression principle?
Possibly.
I mean,
how is that possible? This is a naturally occurring thing that, like, other animals also do. Like, I could see, like, if I'm on a bus and I see somebody I don't like,
and you crop dust him?
And I crop dust him, I could see that maybe being a NAP violation. But if I just ate a whole bunch of, like, Brussels sprouts for lunch, and I'm on that same bus and I just can't hold it back, and I let some guy, have I violated everybody on the buses? Have I violated the NAP there?
I would hear the case that the answer is yes. The difficulty is not whether there was a violation per se, but can you attribute any real damage to that violation and then have that be adjudicated in some form or fashion for restitutions of some kind?
Hmm.
Right? I mean, if it's an involuntary thing, I just can't see how that's a violation. I mean, like, okay, so let's think about this, because I'm wondering about this as well. What if I accidentally hit someone?
You apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a violation, well, but you apologize. And try to make good.
And the same thing when you know, when you burp or you fart in public, you say, excuse me. That's kind of like the cultural thing, at least in the United States, typically.
Right.
You know, that's, kind of sorry I did this, but whatever.
Before he went off the rails, Scooter said that driving is a violation of the non-aggression principle, primarily because your car emits pollution and, you know, whatever, emissions.
Right.
Right. And I think we would all agree that the common example held is like the factory, right, that's on the top of the hill that washes their waste out into the river and disrupts your water supply, your fresh water supply.
Yeah.
Or they're like, well, they've clearly aggressed against you because you have whatever rights to this portion of the river, and it's their pollution that has done it. All right, so you can say like, well, we know that the pollution is caused by them. There's clear damages. Some sort of arbitration and adjudication may be required.
Yeah.
Right. If my neighbor's barbecuing in his backyard and the smell like wafts over into my backyard and I smell it and I don't like that smell and I have a right to my backyard, you've clearly invaded my backyard with the smell of your barbecue. How do you attribute damages, if so?
But it smells delicious.
It smells delicious to you.
What if they're vegan?
I don't like
right?
that. Yeah,
because I actually have heard this story before where there were vegans and they were yelling at their neighbor for barbecuing.
Yeah.
But technically, so the way I see it, he's barbecuing on his property.
Yeah.
Okay, it's wafting over to the air above their property.
Yeah.
But it just...
They're polluting on their property and it just trickles down into your water supply.
Same. To me, it just doesn't seem like an act of aggression.
It's conceptually the same, though. The pollution is conceptually the same.
I
just scaled differently.
I think, and like, you tell me, Richie Rich, because I know, you know, you've thought a lot about some of these positions, at least these you know, I don't know what you want to call them, these
thought experiments.
Thought experiments, yeah. So to me, like just in daily life, right? You're talking about Nikki said, what if I accidentally hit somebody, right? She's like yawning or something, and like somebody's sitting next to her, and bam, oh sorry.
Fish hooks her.
Sorry, I didn't, yeah. I didn't, you know. Like, so to me, there's a difference between that and a difference between somebody coming up to me and punching me in the face.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
And that the difference is intent.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm your neighbor, and I'm just trying to cook some dinner.
Yep.
Right? I didn't intend to violate your nose, your nostrils, with my delicious meats that I'm cooking on my grill. So while I would totally understand if a neighbor came over and was like, dude, look, I'm a vegetarian and or a vegan, whatever, right? I don't eat meat, and, like, you know, that's bothersome. If he came trying to find a solution to the problem, I would work with my neighbor and try to find a solution to
the
problem.
That would be a peaceful way to solve the problem.
Right.
But the aggression has already taken place. Now we're working on solutions.
Right.
In general, the problem with intent is you can't base anything on intent. Right? We hear what people say their intent is all the time.
Yeah.
All we can look at is the results of their actions, and we need to make judgments based on the results, not the intention. I didn't intend to hit that lady in the crosswalk, right? But
well,
you did.
She's dead.
But
so.
You did, right? So you can't,
right.
You know, you can hear what people's intentions were, but you can't make any judgments on that because all you really see is the result of their actions.
Hmm. Interesting.
I didn't intend for the smoke to waft into your yard, but here it is. And you're vegan and you don't like it, right? So there's an aggression, and then there's two people working toward a common solution. If they're not adversarial.
Right. Now, at the same token, I could see somebody who's like, man, I really hate that vegan next door. I'm going to cook up a bunch of steaks all day long. Right?
There was a dude that did that at his restaurant because the vegans were protesting. He just wiped to the window and started slicing up the meat right in front of him.
That to me, is like intent, right?
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to go, okay, that's a NAP violation because the guy specifically intended to, you know, sort of anger his neighbor.
Right, but you're presuming the intent, and you're probably right, but you're presuming the intent based on the results and the actions that he's taking actually.
Yeah, okay, all right. That makes sense. Let's go to more of your calls and thoughts. We can talk more about this as the show goes on. We've got Conejo calling from FEMA Region 13. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, what was that last caller's name? Skidmark?
Yes, Skidmark. That's right.
Oh, okay.
These are getting better.
Not Scott Eater.
That's what I call them. Was it you that brought that up the last time? Because I stole it. I didn't make that up. Another caller said it, and it's my favorite, so that's the one I use.
I mean, this is why we're a call-in show, man. You guys come up with some really good material.
It's fact.
And because we don't believe in intellectual property, I'll steal it every time. Just incorporating to my general personality.
Well, I have a really important reason I'm calling, but really quickly on the barbecuing. You're not responsible for what happens between other people's ears. So if they're offended, that's their problem. If you're cooking enough that there's enough parts per million in the air where they can prove that you affected their health negatively, there, you finally have a tort.
That's difficult. How do you prove it? Number one, how do you prove it? And how do you attribute it to their specific actions?
Maybe they go to the hospital for an asthma attack that is during your cookout. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's also their problem.
It's, like I said, it's difficult.
The reason I'm and the standard should be high. But the reason I'm calling is earlier, I think Dennis Pratt called about the Free State Project, and you guys were talking about how there's a disconnect between a lot of libertarians not even knowing the Free State Project exists.
He didn't call in tonight, but
he has called in the past.
Yeah.
I forget who called in earlier, but
it was Alu Axelman called.
And Dave Ridley.
Oh, okay. Dave Ridley, yeah.
Dave Ridley, that's who I was thinking of. I was actually in the Libertarian Party when we took it back, and a lot of I couldn't believe how many people in the Libertarian Party had never heard of the Free State Project or New
took
Hampshire.
Took it back from who? Other Libertarians?
No, I would never call them Libertarians. The people who took it over when everyone was, after Ron Paul, they're kind of really focused on that and all these worms and weasels in.
He took it back from Ron Paul libertarians?
No, he took it back from, like, the people who wanted to get non-libertarians running on the libertarian.
Oh, okay.
As a libertarian on the libertarian ticket. Which is just like antithesis of, like, do you see Democrats going, hey, let's get a Libertarian to run for a Democrat, or a Republican going, hey, let's get a Democrat running on the Republican ticket? That doesn't happen. If you're going to be your own party, the last thing you should ever do is put somebody from another party on your ticket.
Tell that to the Republican Democrats who are voting on Libertarians in their own party.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kenny, go ahead.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because I've noticed that there hasn't been a whole lot of cross-pollination between, like, the Free State Live media empire and a lot of the other little camps. And Ian was talking yesterday about how radio is dying. The demographic is literally dying. And no offense to anyone.
I'm not offended.
And a lot of the platform was being changed because he's tired of the callers being chronic and stagnant. But it struck me like lightning what the solution would be. So Tucker Carlson, well, first of all, Fox News had the largest cable news network by far, and Tucker Carlson was the largest anchor they had or host with 3.5 million people. When he started on Twitter recently and just different platforms and completely walked away from all that, he had 26 million viewers in his inaugural transmission.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite podcasts is called Monero Talk. And what they do is they simulcast on Twitter Spaces. So you've got the Twitter community who can chat in the chat room and listen. I wake up early on Saturdays. I love sleeping in, but I wake up at 8 early in the morning to listen in, and I can request the talk. It's live chat. So if you integrated that with the Odyssey live stream and adopted Twitter Spaces, you'd inject a lot more new blood. So if every night, 3 hours a night, people knew that the Free Talk Live broadcast was happening and they could just listen to it in the background while they're scrolling. First of all, you're not competing with people doing things like driving and having to worry about writing phone numbers down or programming it on their phone or waiting on hold or whatever. If you integrate Twitter Spaces into your platform, you'll have a whole new exposure to an audience.
I mean, that could be possibly true. We do stream on a lot of different streaming platforms.
But
like,
not the popular ones. We keep getting booted off the popular
ones. Well, yeah, we YouTube. Do, yeah. But how many viewers did you get on YouTube? Really not that many. I'm just not... this Twitter Spaces idea, you know, it is a good idea if we could get that going. I don't think that, like, the stale callers are the only reason for cutting back Free Talk Live stays a little bit. And I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. Like, it's not like, you know, Free Talk Live's going away. Ernie Hancock is awesome. And the Good Morning Liberty guys, I think, what is it? Not Good Evening Liberty, but it's... Well, I forget what their... Is that what their new show is going to be?
That's kind of what they've called themselves on when they're those two guys do an episode for Free Talk Live.
Either way, their podcast is awesome. So we're getting... It's just a little bit different, and I think it might be good just to bring... It's just going to be a little bit more dynamic. So just because it's not Free Talk Live every single day, we still do have other really cool people filling those spaces. It's not necessarily going to be a call-in show. So that's the only thing we're losing, right, is just those 2 days a week for right now that people aren't going to be able to call in.
I want to point out something else that hasn't been talked about at all, and that is that the Free Talk Live crew, if you will, has just expanded. The Free Talk Live family has gotten larger. Right. It's not that this is a reduction. Right. We're like there's still 7 nights a week that we run a broadcast. Our affiliates who carry us all 7 nights a week have something to carry. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just that our family of broadcasters has gotten larger. So we've actually grown. This isn't a reduction in force. This isn't people getting laid off. This isn't a shrinkage like you hear about some employer laying people. Like the Free Talk Live family has actually increased in size.
Oh, your signal is getting terrible.
Yeah, try again, Kanaya.
As much as I love getting daily bus schedule updates from Sarah in New Mexico, Twitter Spaces is categorically different than YouTube.
Sure.
It's purports itself to be anti-censorship now. It's, like I said, Tucker. I just think it's worth giving it a shot.
You okay. could be right. It may be well, worth right, giving yeah. a shot. I think part of the Tucker Carlson thing is the length of his show was reduced like 85%. Right? It went from an hour on cable news to a 10-minute monologue. And what?
Yeah, but the average Fox News viewer isn't on Twitter. He went from 3.5 million, the highest rated host on the highest rated network, to 26 million. That's a factor of, what, 15,000 or 1,500% or something?
Sure. But it also, that the attribution to that could also be the shorter form of the show, is what I'm suggesting.
Well, and not to mention the
And we still do a 3-hour broadcast.
Yeah, not to mention the amount of press that he got. You know, with leaving Fox, right? There's right. a whole ton of press. So the next thing he did was going to garner a bunch of attention. In 6 months from now, if Tucker Carlson still has that many millions of viewers, I suspect that number will go down in 6 months.
I think
months.
It went down in subsequent episodes.
Okay. You know, then, okay, well, then maybe that's then, like that's probably the more realistic number to look at. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that, like, you're using a number that's likely inflated because of the press advantage at the time of his leaving Fox.
Right. It's like opening weekend at the movies.
Right.
Well, it's a brand new tool, relatively new tool. It didn't even exist a few months ago on a complementary platform that has complementary values on, you know, purported complementary values. I just think it's a neglected
outlet. Purported is the big word, right? Like, purported complementary values. Twitter is still one of the biggest social media outlets available.
Certainly, yeah.
Which means they're going to be the ones more likely to censor eventually, because Free Talk Live will at some point cross a line that even Elon Musk will not cross.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it could be a good idea. I am not the person that can make that happen. Yeah. On Free Talk Live, so I mean, we can pass it along. And I know Bonnie right. has experience with the Twitter Spaces or whatever, and she has said good things about it. So I mean, it's not. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. Yeah. I'm not that guy.
I'll certainly mention it to our producers who are listening, I'm sure, right now. And also, you might call in, and if you haven't already, talk to Ian himself. You know, if you feel you have enough evidence or your argument is compelling enough. Because ultimately, I think it lies in his and Mark's hands as far as, you know, will we go that direction? Is it something worth looking into?
All right. Appreciate it.
Hey, Kaneo,
be great.
Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate
Generally,
it.
Generally, I'll self-plug real quick. Saturdays, I do a podcast.
Yeah.
And we're looking at...
What's it called?
The Anarchist Experience.
Okay.
And we're also looking at migrating to Twitter Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Clubhouse first became a thing, right. like... Well, we can do the live broadcast on Clubhouse, and we can let people in. You can raise your hand and participate, and it's still got zero traction. Right? Like, you know, poor marketing. It's a terrible show. You shouldn't listen to it, but it's there, and we've been doing it for like 9 years.
Yeah.
So, but I don't care, right? But if we move over to Twitter Spaces, the likelihood is without that bump of Fox News or Tucker Carlson or a big name, we are going to get the same results on Twitter Spaces that we did on Clubhouse,
right.
which is not a lot of traction, not a lot of interaction, you know, not much audience participation, because we don't put anything back into it. It's just me and a dude talking for an hour,
sure.
and then I do some minor editing afterwards, right? So we don't have that, you know, like Joe Rogan's not big because he's Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is big because he was Joe Rogan before he started the podcast.
Yeah, right,
exactly.
And brought the audience with him.
Right. And there is something to be said for investing financially in marketing and advertising.
Yes.
A lot of the times you need to do that. And if it's not worth it for you.
Yeah, no, it's a hobby.
Exactly.
Much like this show, I do it as a hobby and I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I spend money on video games and that's, you know, that's about it. A little bit on food. So I don't care, right? But the point is the same. It doesn't, the platform doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I haven't been booted. I say more ridiculous things on that show than I do here.
Right.
I've not been canceled. I've never been booted. I've never hit a strike because I'm not big enough to get that.
Right. You're not big enough for the platform themselves to really care.
Right.
Right.
And if Free Talk Live moves over to the big platform, nationally syndicated broadcast
yeah.
is going to be big enough to start taking a look. And just like YouTube and just like every place else that we've been struck from,
yeah.
Twitter will eventually follow suit because they're the big ones.
I mean, I think it's as many platforms as we can get on, I think is always a positive thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
If it's going to take a lot of work and effort to reconfigure the show to get it on Twitter Spaces,
No, you just hit the broadcast button.
Okay, so I didn't know if it was like streaming on Twitch and all the other things.
It is.
I mean, in that case, then,
why
not?
We do a multicast already. We stream to...
But then you got to pay attention to the feed on Twitter whilst taking calls from live callers, whilst monitoring the chat room.
Yeah, so that's a way to get people in to speak.
To participate.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Right, we're on Twitch, we're on DLive. We are actually still on Facebook. Via some miraculous effort in moving the broadcast. Well, I'm not going to go into the details, but we're on some other places too. I think we're on Vaughn Live. That's an old sort of restreaming or live streaming platform that's been around for, longer than any of the big companies have been doing live streaming. Like Vaughn was like one of the first streaming companies. So we're on multiple platforms. The trouble is like you're saying, tailoring it to a specific platform. We had a caller call in not too long ago. I think he called Beard Talk Live because I remember him cussing. But he was talking about, maybe he did call in on a Sunday too, because he was talking about what poor producers we are.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Granny.
It was Granny.
Was I here?
I don't remember.
It was on Beard Talk Live. And he uttered like the greatest line on Beer Talk Line ever.
We can't say
people
on the radio.
Oh, yeah. No. Right? Well, maybe you'll tell me later.
Yeah, we'll tell you later.
But at any rate.
But he wasn't. Here's the thing. He wasn't wrong in his suggestion, just like Kaneo's not wrong in his suggestion.
For that specific platform.
What was his suggestion?
Well, he was saying that, hey, you guys aren't, interacting with your Twitch people in the right way. There's people in the chat room wanting to chat with you.
There's a setting that FreeTalkLive has set on Twitter that doesn't let people interact for like the first hour and a half of the engagement.
Oh.
And he's like, just drop that and you'll get more engagement.
Right. I mean,
And Captain Peter's like, whatever. Yeah, we're not going to, but thank you for,
Yeah.
And he was just upset that we wouldn't change our Twitch stream to better interact.
And then started calling us names, and so
that was funny.
Why would we have that restriction?
No one knows how to fix it.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, so it's just the effort.
I think I think it's because we stream, we're not exclusive to Twitch, whereas the guy Granny calling, he was streaming exclusively to Twitch.
Yeah.
And so he was sort of personalizing his experience or his Twitch stream to his users or his followers.
Yeah.
And telling us that we should be more like him when it was difficult for me to explain to him that we use something called a multi-streamer. And so we basically put a username and a password into this multi-streamer for a whole bunch of different streaming platforms.
Right, but you can still individually go into Twitch, turn that setting off, and get more Twitch interaction.
Perhaps. I don't know that for a fact. But and he's probably not wrong. We probably could.
But that's why it was just the effort of doing so was greater than any of the hosts wanted.
But we're a radio show first before we're a streaming show. The streaming is a sort of a benefit that we give to people who might want to, I don't know, see what we look like, I guess. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Former Vice President Mike Pence doesn't want Donald Trump indicted over the January 6th riot.
Pence calls former President Trump's words that day reckless, and he maintains that Trump was wrong in believing a vice president can overturn an election. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is criticizing her successor for playing politics for his comments about Trump's two impeachments. The California Democrat blasted House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's support of expunging both impeachments as not responsible. Records continue to fall as a massive heat wave sends the mercury soaring across the western USA. Excessive heat warnings are extended across the Southwest through Tuesday night. The first Atlantic hurricane of the season wasn't a hurricane for long. Tropical Storm Dan strengthened into a hurricane Saturday, hundreds of miles southeast of Newfoundland, but by Sunday, Hurricane Don had weakened back to a tropical storm. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Grooving.
And that's you why know, you've got to get on the Twitch stream.
You know that boogie is for real.
Get down.
That's the intro to every Twitch stream that we do, or Twitter's
what?
Twitter space. No, uh-oh. Nikki Dancing.
Rick James?
No, Nikki Dancing.
James Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I'm getting my James.
Rick James is
cold-blooded.
But,
I'm Rick James.
But James Brown is, ha!
Yeah.
Gonna kiss myself.
I feel like they both kind of do that.
I mean, James Hetfield of Metallica stole from James Brown, right?
Yeah.
So, like, James Brown is often imitated, never duplicated, right? In today's world, though, that would probably result in some, like, IP suits and, you know, sorts of...
Well, you know Metallica's all about that anyway,
they
so...
They certainly are.
No sampling in music anymore. Forbidden.
It's just... The whole thought... That you can own an idea is a false premise.
You would think.
It's impossible for you to own an idea.
But they back it by guns.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
so
we could both have the same idea independently of each other.
Yeah, but independently across the globe.
So it just matters who paid...
At the telephone or the radio.
You know, who even do you pay to copyright someone? The government? Like,
yes.
Who you pay?
United States Patent Office.
So it's basically who... The person that sells out first... is the person that wins. That doesn't even make it's not fair.
You don't even have to have the product because they're patent trolls, right? They patent an idea, and then anyone that comes like does anything similar, they just sue them.
And even so, I guess if you're talking about sampling music, like has been done frequently, especially in the hip hop genre.
For decades.
And now you have to pay, you know, millions of dollars to do that. But regardless, even if we're talking about that, I could see, okay, I recorded this, I worked on this, this is my piece of music, and you're using it without my permission and without paying me any money first. Even in that, I mean, if anything, you know how many times I've listened to a hip-hop song and I hear a sample and I'm like, wow, that's just, I really, really love that. And, like, that's the reason why I like the song. And I go back and I find the song from the 60s that was the original sample. And now I love that song and I buy their album. And you know how many artists I've actually found from listening to, like, Wu-Tang Clan because of the samples or, like, the Beastie Boys, whatever.
My position is that it's free advertising.
It is, yeah.
Literally, if somebody uses a sample of something I did, which, by the way, I did a thing. You can find it over at CaptainKickass.com. If somebody uses a sample of my stuff in their stuff, sweet. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you know? It's nice to, like, give them a shout-out or give them some cred, but, you know, even if not, so you're going to sue them?
The strong difference is the disparity of influence, right? Like, you, Captain, don't have a lot of influence right now, so other people sampling your stuff build your influence.
Yes.
Whereas when you have a lot of influence, just like when corporations get big and they keep their competition out,
right?
When you have that level of influence, you protect it by not letting other people get to your level.
I don't know, man. Rising tide lifts all boats, man.
That's a good theory, but that's not how they operate.
It's not how they operate, but it's how I would operate.
I would hope so.
Right. I would hope so as well. And like one of the reasons that I haven't released the music videos yet, you can still get the music videos if you buy the USB card over at CaptainKickass.com. You can get all three music videos for the EP, but they're not online just yet. It's because the distributor and I, they apparently have never encountered anybody who wants to release Creative Commons. And so I'm forcing them to, like, manually, like, do some things, check some boxes and that kind of thing. Like, no, we can do it. So I'm assured that they can do it. So what we're trying to do now is just coordinate an actual release date for those to appear online. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, I'll put them up myself. I don't have a problem doing that. I just, you know, I have a distributor. I would rather work with them now this first time and get it to, like, and then be, like, every subsequent time when I have, a new single or a new video I want to put out or something, then I've already got it dialed in and I can just schedule it and coordinate it and, you know, we can do a press release, all that kind of fun stuff that goes along with that. So there's been a delay, but it's a result of IP law, right? Yeah. If IP law didn't exist, I wouldn't have to jump through these hoops with these guys because, you know, I'm the first guy that wanted it all Creative Commons. Like, that seems weird, but I guess all other indie artists just click the boxes and check the buttons.
They probably don't even think about it.
You know,
even if they wouldn't mind if somebody sampled their stuff, they probably don't even think about it enough to even say anything or bring it up.
They're not engaged in philosophical debates about what IP law is. They're like, I'm just trying to make my music, man.
Right.
You know?
This is why you need a manager.
Well, sadly, I don't ever want to be anybody's manager of, like, their band or their act or anything like that.
I got it. But if you want to focus on the music, you got to have someone to handle
it. Yeah, it's good to have one. It's just not good to be one.
That being said, like, I already do a better job than anybody I could hire.
Okay.
Right? Or at least I believe that I do, right? Now, if somebody can prove to me that they can do a more kick-ass job than me, but I have the interest, I have the motivation, they don't. You know what I mean?
Well, their motivation is the paycheck they get.
Right, which I also can't really afford. So,
So a buddy
of mine. This is the independent part of being an independent artist, where you have to wear all the hats.
For now,
I know.
A buddy of mine, at one point in time, wanted to be a stand-up comic. It's like, Rich, will you be my manager?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, absolutely. This is going to be fun. I booked him like one show.
No fun, was it?
No, I got him booked within a week. I got him booked, you know, on it was like the Rotary Club dinner or something.
Okay.
Got like a 5-minute set. I'm like, go kill it. And he killed it and then retired. Like, didn't want to do anything after that.
One show.
He did one show. I'm like, oh, man, there goes my second career.
Wow.
Thought we were going to have fun with this.
Sorry to hear that. I thought you were going to make it big.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was going to ride his coattails all the way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever the comedy shows are.
We should probably go to some of your calls and thoughts. Let's go to this unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What is your name, please?
Hello, my name is Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, great. I'm so glad to talk to you.
What's on your mind?
Daytona Beach, and I would like to compliment the premise of the author who called of the Constitution being violated and that being the subject.
Alu Axelman.
With a dialectic approach. And that would be the idea that the Constitution is being enforced.
Hey, Robert, it sounds like you might have your radio on in the background. That's creating a big delay in your speak. Can you turn that off?
Let me shut it off.
Yeah, please do, because it creates some weirdness. I'm just talking to fill the air while you go and turn it down. It does create some weirdness in the audio. It sounds cleaner already. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
It's the computer. Anyway, the premise is I have a nice picture of peyote on my display on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that it is being offered for sale legally to anyone in the United States. And the idea is, from what I understand, the sale premise of the sale is that you can buy it, but you do not own it if you are not a member of the Native Church of America.
Uh-huh.
So, in order to be a member of the Native Church of America, you have to be one quarter pure Navajo or other qualifying indigenous tribe.
To join a religion. Interesting. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's
I don't know what one quarter pure means either, but neither here nor there.
This is the interesting part, though. I can buy this, but the courts have decided to manage it by making it, treating it as a sacrament, in their words. So it is an idol to us. We are forced to observe it as an idol, and the only people who are allowed to sell it and consume it and manage it are the Native members of the Native American Church.
Huh.
Bernard Von Nothaus tried this after the Liberty Dollar went up.
Okay, yeah.
Like he started the first marijuana church.
Yeah,
and
I remember
weed
that.
Was the sacrament. So.
I am a steward of the church, because by buying a piece of the sacrament, buying the thing, it is to me an idol. I must treat it with utmost respect, and not being the owner, I must serve it. And the whole reason that I'm able to buy it is to preserve it. The idea is for it to be preserved. See, now, if I worship it and I treat it like I'm respecting the church, then I will not harm it, and I will hold it for potential use in the future by the church, because I'm preserving the sacrament.
So, and then you're like more like a guardian at that point of the substance.
Well, someone's going to harm it.
It's such a desirable thing, though. It leads to scarcity, from what I've heard in the times past,
mm-hmm.
so that it's endangered that way, because the demand is too high, and they have exclusive rights because of their tradition.
Well, there's a problem right there.
For the others.
If you want supply, if you want supply to keep up with demand, don't go handing out exclusive rights. Let anybody who wants to, you know, make it or grow it or whatever have access to it, and you'll see supply catch up to demand real quick and prices drop and all that other fun stuff. Then you'll have it in abundance. instead of scarcity.
That's true. I get it. But the idea is people who have never tried it, who do not have that desire, can live without it because they won't demand something they have never had, and they haven't acquired a taste for it. So,
that's why they warn drug dealers about giving out free samples.
It preserves their culture, and it maintains order. See, so if I have never experienced the thing, and it's a vital interest to the church, and it is a tradition, these people are a foreign nation, and they were here, and they're still respected as a nation to have sovereignty over this, according to the judgment of this court.
Well, they have sovereignty over that thing, but, you know, of course, not over the
national,
land that they used to occupy.
National sovereignty is also a weird concept.
Yeah. Well, over the actual sacrament.
Sure.
See, they claim they delegated all rights to this plant to the church. See, so church, the thing is, it's scruples. That's the bottom conclusion of this argument.
See, but again, still, government above the church, right? The only reason the church has granted the right is because the government allowed it, protected by the violence of the state.
That's true. But the thing that's the catch to it is scruples, because these people have a belief that it's really not the government, that they believe in it, that it's their way. And
yeah, well, you can believe in it, and you still can't do it if the government says you can't. You already admitted only a small percentage of the population is allowed. That means all the rest of us are excluded, whether we want to be or not.
Well, as a native church, the native church...
I'm not a native. I'm not allowed to do peyote because the state says I'm not allowed.
I get it, but... They have that belief that's not violated. See, it's all seems superficial, but
yeah. So consider themselves lucky.
Law, the principles.
That the state, in its infinite wisdom, has allowed them permission to do something that they had the natural right to do, absent the state.
Yeah, it would be like.
Yeah, so it's the work of an arbitrator. They stand in to maintain arbitration as a state authority. To keep the peace.
Well, no, they stepped in to beg for permission to exist
in a way that resembled
the way they existed prior to the government telling them what they can and can't do.
Yeah, state arbitrator is not a real arbitrator. He still has the backing of the violence.
It just feels unnecessary. You know, if they were to be left alone, then we wouldn't need to go through all that in the first place.
Like,
you know what I mean?
If I decided that my church was going to be based around peyote, right? And so I'm like, okay, peyote's now our sacrament. The Church of Kickass, peyote's our sacrament, right?
Yeah.
Would I be protected in the same way they are? No, I wouldn't. Would I have to get an arbitrator to go beg for permission from my masters? Yes, I would.
The big question is, why do we even need to ask permission to do peyote or mushrooms or anything that comes from the earth that doesn't really have any serious negative, like it's not like like bath salts or something where I could ingest it and then start running around downtown Keene biting people.
Or
you know
chemically
what I mean?
Constructed.
Well, say,
right, bring back PCP as a sacrament.
Say, for example, if I am a person who has a lot of responsibility, who's operating an airline, a plane as a pilot, and I just decide, well, you know, I might like to try that while I'm doing my job. See, now,
that doesn't have to be done through the government. That can be done through your employer. So, like, hey, you know, whatever, I'm your employer. You're not allowed to do your job for safety reasons under the influence of any mind-altering substances.
No peyote in the workplace.
Yeah
so we don't even really need the government to say, hey, this is illegal,
right?
Because what if some pilot guy is going to do it?
Right.
That is irrelevant because I should be able to do it in my room. I'm not driving. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
So why is my right taken away for all of these made-up scenarios like coulda, shoulda, woulda?
The bigger point, though, is that the law doesn't even prevent that from happening. In your scenario, Robert, a pilot right now in the sky, even with a law, could just be popping peyote or acid or mushrooms or something, and no one would ever know.
But the theory is being that it can make a change in a person's physiology to some degree.
That's why people do drugs in the first place.
Correct. But the thing is, there's a lot of people who don't want to do drugs. They want to maintain a what they think in their mind is something of a pure life experience.
And no one's forcing me to do them, and I'm voluntarily not doing them.
That's a scruple, though, and they think their way is the best way. See, that's what you call scruples. That's why the whole thing falls apart.
I looked up scruple just for our audience.
What falls apart?
Scruple is an ethical consideration or principle that inhibits action.
Okay.
I mean, but so the situation with drug use, so Richie's like, okay, I don't do drugs, that's fine. And maybe he thinks that's the best way, whatever. Even
obviously,
if,
I do. Otherwise, I would do drugs.
He's judging me, say I'm, you know, I'm doing drugs. And he's judging me for doing drugs, but he wouldn't be like, well, you have to be sober because I am and I think it's better. He's not forcing that on me, so I just don't get why it's relevant.
I don't force it on you because I go like, well, maybe that's what's best for you.
Yeah, like we can all just
maybe
do our own thing.
Maybe you need the mushrooms and the pills.
I think it's best. I could say I think it's best for me, and if it's the best thing for me, it could be the best thing for all. See, I like peyote. I will say.
Would you force your opinion upon other people?
No.
Would you use governments to force your opinion on other people?
If you don't have that experience and you're told it's not good for you, say you won't. You won't ever try it. You won't ever need it. You don't have that desire. You don't have that urge to...
I never started smoking. I never crave a cigarette.
Right.
Imagine
and
that.
Then you got the naive idea that your way is right, even though you...
No, it's not a naive idea. It's right for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may benefit from actually going over and trying the other thing. You might
he has a point in that, but because you've never tried it, you can't have the perspective of what it might feel like to do it.
True. Yeah.
So, I mean, I just don't think that matters.
No, but I'm just saying that, like, he has a technical point.
Yeah, I've never tried
drinking bleach either, so you never know about these things.
Right.
That's the whole...
You can't tell me drinking bleach is bad for you unless you've had a sip of it yourself.
Robert, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you. Have a good night.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard that I have to try.
603-283-6160. Let's go to this unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What is your name, please?
Yeah, good evening. It's about a situation.
Do you have a name?
Yeah, my name is Tom.
Hey, Tom, where are you calling from?
I'm from New Hampshire.
All right, what's
on
your mind?
One of the regular callers, and you may have heard that out in Portland, Oregon yesterday, there was a hospital there, Legacy Good Samaritan Hospital, where somebody wound up gunning down a security guard, shooting and wounding a staff member. And the details aren't out, because the situation is all under investigation, and I'm not really sure what happened.
Why are you bringing it up, then?
Well, here's what I would, my hypothesis, okay?
A random three from a guy on the phone. Go for it.
Yeah, the guy, he was, one report says he was there visiting a patient. Okay, that's the news part that we do know. He was there visiting a patient. He started threatening the staff. This is the report. He was threatening the staff. They called for help, and the police were on their way, and the security guard comes storming up there. You know, who's this? Mere civilian, mere person, threatening the staff. And the gunman gunned down
as a security guard.
Security guard, and also shot one of the staff members. Now, what about the patient? Okay, my hypothesis is that
they were already in the hospital.
Patient, we're going to put you on a emergency psychiatric hold. And either the gunman was there and telling them you can't do that. This is America. This is supposed to be a free country, because he was brainwashed to believe that in public school.
So you're saying this was a rescue mission?
Yeah, either he was right there while they were doing it, or maybe the hostage was able to communicate to the gunman that the hostage was being kidnapped.
Don't let him take me.
For the benefit of the pharmaceutical companies that sell all kinds of crazy dope to dope people up with when they're having a bad day. I mean, that's bound to brighten up their day and make them glad to be alive. You know, somebody's not having any luck getting dates. He needs a lady in red. Let's give him the men in the white suits. He needs the kind of antidepressant that wears a skirt. Let's give him the kind in a syringe. Actually, I believe you'll find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus says, which father would give, you know, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone, or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake. But anyway, they do this to people, and he decided, no, they're not going to do it this time. And, you know, that's what it takes to say no to drugs nowadays.
Well, I like your hypothesis. I don't, you know if that will bear out. But I can tell you, while you were talking, I looked up, found an article from ABC News. We may never actually know because officers determined the suspect was in a vehicle, which was stopped by police in the city of Gresham, Oregon, about 15 miles east
that's
of Portland.
Right.
And during the incident, shots were fired by police. The suspect is deceased.
And he is now in heaven, reaping his eternal reward. Thomas Jefferson said, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. So, and that, as far as the security guard, doesn't matter whether a security guard or a cop or, any other staff member, you're kidnapping somebody, you deserve to get killed. People's right to be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures is not the right to have evidence suppressed later in court. It is the unalienable right to use any necessary means to resist, no matter what garbage is vomited forth from the courts about these issues.
That's one of those constitutional amendments we eliminated in segment one.
Hey, thank you for the call, Tom. We do appreciate you.
I'm glad he's still a part-time cop killer.
603-283-6160. I'm sorry, what?
I said I'm glad he's still at least a part-time cop killer advocate.
Tom.
He kind of walked it back for a little while. The right story moves him in the right way. And he's like, yep. Obedience to God.
I keep saying that it's time for people to stand up for themselves and to stand up for each other. If you see somebody, obviously, you know, getting beat down by, like, I haven't seen this yet, right? We see things all the time in video and people calling in and all these things that happen in the news and that thing. But we still haven't seen anybody who's obviously getting beat down by somebody in uniform where, like, the crowd sort of takes care of it.
Tupac Shakur shot a couple of cops who were harassing somebody and was quit.
Here, we haven't seen anything in the last 2 decades.
It's the same. So it's a big Tupac story.
603-283-6160. Hour number 3 is coming up. We still have to talk about the face Keeney. Stay tuned. It's Free Talk Live.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a 1 week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this 1 week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.